Excellencies, Mr. Vice President, Ms. Specialty, and esteemed panelists, I am honored to participate in this panel on an important questions related to my community, Rohingya, as well as my organization's missions to bring peace, justice, and human rights to Myanmar. Indeed, addressing the root causes of these decades-long gross human rights violations is vital, now more than ever. As we speak, the key perpetrators of these atrocities, the Myanmar military and security forces, are intensifying their brutality, including by launching airstrikes, committing arrest and detention, torture, sexual violence, and killing across the country. The junta has now even declared that it will enforce death penalty of the four democracy activists. Impunity has enabled such brutalities. As was reported by the Council and High Commissioner, for decades, ethnic minorities in Myanmar have been subjected to the most brutal forms of violence and policies that amount to crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocide. For Rohingya, whose historical ties to the country have yet to be recognized by successive Myanmar leaderships, these acts have always amounted to genocide. For generations, we have been systematically deprived of our human rights and dignity and subjected to acts of state-sponsored persecutions, including sexual violence and restrictions on our marriage and birth. These acts span decades preceding the 2017 genocide, when Myanmar military murdered, raped, forcibly displaced hundreds of thousands of Rohingya and torched their villages. This month marks 10 years since the 2012 wave of state-sponsored violence against Rohingya in Rakhine State. Today in Rakhine State, over 600,000 remaining Rohingya continue to live in apartheid-like condition. Among them, over 140,000 remain forcibly segregated in internally displaced person camps, where they are denied access to basic needs and livelihood. Since their attempted coup last year, the Myanmar military has intensified its policies with the intent to destroy Rohingya's existence and identity. As Women's Peace Network has reported, the junta is further restricting the community's basic human rights, including requiring Rohingya to obtain permission to travel within and outside of Rakhine State, and arresting those who allegedly violate such discriminatory policy. In addition to sweat and sit, an abusive family check-in process, the junta now even requires Rohingya to provide national verification card, which do not confer citizenship and identify Rohingya as Bengali, to conduct their daily activities, including travel for medical treatment and school. Those who cannot show this toll of genocide are required to provide at least 6 guarantors. My cousin in Rakhine State described to me that their situation is like living in an open prison. The nearly 1 million Rohingya too remain confined, but in squalid refugee camps and detention centers in neighboring countries, including Bangladesh. In all these areas, women and girls and LGBTQ plus members in particular, many of whom have survived the military sexual violence, remain at heightened risk of being raped, sexually harassed, and exploited, and forcibly trafficked. Despite surviving the genocide in Myanmar, many Rohingya are now re-traumatized through the denial of access to education and livelihood as refugees. All Rohingya want is justice that includes a safe and dignified return home in Myanmar with an assurance of their security, full citizenship, and returns of their lands. For this to happen, the impunity that has emboldened their perpetrators must end. As long as this impunity exists, the people of Myanmar, including Rohingya and other ethnic minorities, are at heightened risk of being subjected to further atrocity crimes. It is critical that the international communities pursues concerted and comprehensive actions to hold the Myanmar military accountable. Member states must ensure a court of law to prosecute the military, as the UN Independent Investigative Missions for Myanmar collects evidence and prepare a case. Those in the UN Security Council should uphold its mandates and refer Myanmar's situation to the International Criminal Court. All governments and parties should also refrain from engaging with the criminal Myanmar junta. The international community should rather support the country's grassroots movement that uphold international human rights norms and provide moral, financial, technical, and material support to them, especially women's human rights defenders and organizations. Furthermore, we applaud the US for recognizing Rohingya genocide earlier this year. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to recognize the Rohingya genocide and consult Rohingya civil society and community members in matters related to our future. Our voices have often been sidelined and undermined, not only in Myanmar, but also among international governments and actors, particularly on issues related to our rehabilitations, repatriations, and justice. Finally, I hope that the Council and Member State will stand with Rohingya and other ethnic minorities as we fight for a country that truly enshrines peace, justice, and human rights. I thank you all for your attention.